episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. On today's show, I'm going to be talking to the co-founder of Oblivious, Jacqueline Mozanowski, and a little bit of information about Oblivious. They were launched during lockdown, and it is the brainchild of a mother and daughter duo inspired by their shared, never-ending sense of curiosity. Oblivious provides a sustainable fashion statement for those who look to interrogate themselves, others, and the status quo. Oblivious is unique, as whilst there are many garments printed with words, there is no brand that singularly focuses on questions. The website, areweoblivious.com, is where you can check out more information. And here is Jacqueline to talk about the brand in her own words.
I am originally from Germany, but I've been living in London for quite a few years now. Kind of got stuck a little bit here, but my family is still in Germany. And I founded Oblivious with my mother, actually. We've been on this journey for a bit over a year now. Obviously, with coronavirus, things have been slowed down a little bit, but everywhere in the world has had that. So, you know, we just go with the flow.
I'm dying to hear about how you got it started with your mother. So talk about the early steps and what happened there at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have a very good relationship with my mother, which I'm very grateful for.
And is she in the UK?
No, she actually still lives in Germany.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So currently we do a lot over the internet, obviously, which is obviously works with Zoom and everything. But hopefully I get to see her a bit more in the future when everything gets a bit easier again. But yeah, to get to the point, my mom and me are quite similar, not just in style, but also, I guess, kind of in personality. And we've always kind of talked about starting a brand together. I think my earliest memory of this is when I was around 9 or something, and we were like talking about making up this brand, but obviously at the time we didn't actually do it, but it was kind of like a fun thing to talk about, because we've both always been into fashion and kind of even started sharing clothes when I started having the same size and stuff. So that kind of shows how similar our style is.
Wow, that's amazing to have a mother that's kind of influential for for your own style, because a lot of people and kids grow up trying to rebel against their parents.
Yeah.
They don't want to wear the same suits as dad has worn, for example.
So yeah, no, I guess I'm lucky in a way that, you know, my mom has such a cool style. I'll just say that. But yeah, I'm lucky as well to be able to wear her clothes in that case and, you know, have the same shoe size and everything. But so we've always kind of talked about doing something together. But, you know, I was studying, also went to school in the UK. So kind of just, you know, got my education sorted first. I think when I finished my master's degree, I did a master's in marketing here in London. We kind of started talking about this idea of questions. Because I'm a very curious person, my mom's a very curious person, and we were just kind of thinking, well, why is there not really any brand that, you know, focuses on this power of questions? And we kind of had that in the back of our minds, but, you know, we were talking about it for a while, and then we didn't really think about it anymore. And like I said, when I finished my master's, we spoke about it a bit more seriously, and then thought, you know what? It has potential. So what could we do with it? And from the beginning onwards, we kind of said, if we ever do this, or if we ever do anything in fashion, we kind of want to go into it from a more sustainable point of view. Obviously, in the past few years, this has grown massively, which is great.
So how old is the brand, Jacqueline?
We actually launched in February, so quite young.
So you've launched in the middle of a pandemic. I guess you had to get all of the designs and the production in place and everything like that. So where are the garments made first?
Yes. So our first collection was made in Romania through someone that we worked with here in London, actually. She kind of liaised between us and them. But we are now actually shifting production to Portugal. because we can also get our fabric made there. So it's all a bit more, you know, one in one place, so we don't have to ship back and forth. So we thought that'd be a bit better sustainability wise.
Has Brexit had any effect on you guys with regards to the distribution and getting things made with the factories, getting stuff to consumers? Has that had any impact on you?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, obviously not having produced in the UK was good because that kind of took that problem away. But some of the things like packaging that we'd originally ordered to the UK, you know, we were kind of like, okay, what are we going to do? Because we are a German brand, even though we are obviously actively kind of trying to get into the English market as well. But we obviously don't want to limit ourselves. And with all of these new rules, it was a bit difficult. So what we actually ended up doing was, before Brexit happened, we'd already had our pieces. We just couldn't launch because some other things were missing. So we kind of just said, okay, we'll put a few pieces here, a few pieces there. And in the beginning, that was obviously great, but at some point you run out. So now, obviously, when we do ship from Germany, we do have to fill out the forms and everything. But so far, it's been okay.
Wow. I mean, all of this stuff, though, to begin with, I mean, it must have been so much red tape when you first started a brand, or the idea of starting a brand. I bet you never envisaged having to jump through so many hoops.
No, not necessarily. Obviously, no one knew about coronavirus, you know, being coming along in general. I mean, in the end, you know, we were healthy and happy, so you know, that's the most important part. But obviously it did kind of delay us in a lot of things, like production was obviously not done when it should have been done and all of these things. But you know, in the end, we couldn't really do very much else than just wait. And you know, I kind of thought maybe that's just the way it's supposed to be for now, and I was just kind of looking forward to getting it off the ground. So
Jacqueline, how did you get the capital? How did you raise the money to start the brand?
Yeah. Now, obviously, I'm doing this with my mother. So I obviously have a little bit of a different side to this. It's basically a mixture. My mom has invested some of her own capital because she's obviously been working and is a bit older than me. So she's obviously done a bit more in her life. She's actually done interior design before. And then my father has also invested in this because he said, okay, I really like the idea. If this is what you want to do, then you can try it. Now, obviously, we started with very low amounts of stock. Not just because we're just launching, but also because obviously we wanted to keep the costs down. But yeah, I feel obviously very happy and very lucky that I have such supportive parents. And on the other side, obviously, that my mom really wanted to do something like this on her own as well. So, you know, it just kind of came together in a way that was quite good for me.
Yeah, it must be nice though that you feel like you're keeping it in the family. Like the money, when it's going out, it doesn't feel like you're hemorrhaging money. It's going within the family, so to speak.
Sure. I mean, you know, the only thing I sometimes think about is like, I obviously don't want to let them down, which has been another pressure that's there. But obviously, I can't complain. But it's nice. You know, I even talk to my brother about all of the designs and everything. So I kind of tie them all in a little bit.
Tell us a little bit more about the designs, please. Jacqueline, the theme, the questions are just so important, aren't they, in everyday life? And I think it's underestimated the power of the question. So maybe you can just elucidate on that for us, please.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we are children, we ask so many questions. I think the most, like the age, and I think a four-year-old girl is the person that asks the most questions or something statistically. It just goes to show, you know, when we're children, we just kind of ask about everything and we don't really care. I think the older we get, we kind of, obviously, first of all, we might not have to ask as many questions because we might know a little bit more. But I think the main reason is often that we feel like we shouldn't, or we might be a little bit shy about asking a question, whether that is speaking in general or just kind of, you know, seeming like we don't know something that maybe we should know. But that is actually a little bit sad because it kind of holds us back a little bit. And what I kind of see in questions is it has such a power. First of all, basically, even like our brains, basically what happens when you're asked a question is your brain is actually stimulated and you release serotonin to make your brain obviously be able to relax and like think about an answer. And this is so powerful that unless you literally consciously decide to say, oh, I'm not gonna like engage with this question any further, I don't really want to think about this, you will actually want to answer the question. And this is actually the power of questions, because it makes you stop and think about something. And we can utilize this so much in our own lives, whether that is like to make better connections with other people, in the sense that if we ask them questions, they obviously feel like we're getting more connected. They feel like we're interested in them, which we probably are because we're asking questions. And also on the other end, obviously you learn more about the person. And usually when you ask questions, it's a bit of a back and forth. So that kind of just, yeah, well, otherwise you're probably not going to build up a good relationship, but you know, that's fine as well. You don't have to with everyone, but usually you can make a relationship feel a bit more closer, I guess, by asking more questions. But the same way in our own lives, you know, if we ask ourselves, you know, simple questions on a daily basis, or generally asking questions just helps us learn more about ourselves, but also the world around us. And in the end also helps us make better decisions, because if you actually stop and think about what you're about to do and actually ask yourself, is this, you know, aligned with what I want to do in my life? Does this feel good? Am I doing this for someone else or for myself? You know, all of these like little questions, they can guide you. So I think what you said just before I started answering is very accurate.
And also, I think when you allow other people to ask questions and you give them a platform, it empowers them, doesn't it? And it's also quite flattering when somebody asks me, hey, what do you think? Or, you know, they might be the authority on the subject and they'll give you the best answer, but then all of a sudden they'll turn it to you and go, hey, what do you think about this? It really gives you a glow, doesn't it, to know that you feel important enough to give an opinion or a voice.
Absolutely. I think that is also kind of a positive side to it, because like you said, you kind of hand it over to them and you're like, I am interested in your point of view here as well. Like, you're not just wanting to state your own point of view, but you want to hear something else. And that kind of makes for better discourse in general anyway, because how boring would it be if everything would be just your view? But like you said, you know, a lot of people do hold back, and I think the best way to get over it is just to do it, which is obviously not the easiest thing at all times. But, you know, in the end, the question you can ask yourself here is, just intercepting that here is, well, if I don't ask this question, then what will I learn? Basically, nothing. Kind of the answer. If I ask a question, what can go wrong? Well, the only thing that could happen is somebody thinks, well, why is she asking this? But who cares? If you gain something from it, if you learn something from it, and you engage in a conversation, you're only going to gain something from it. Whether that's positive or negative, you're going to learn something new. So
Jacqueline, talk to me a little bit more about the designs and how you and your mum kind of communicate. Who comes up with what? Whose idea is where? How does that relationship work and how does it materialize?
Yeah. Just to start off with the fact that what we kind of wanted to do with the brand is make it so it's kind of like basic pieces, but we wanted to do them a little bit differently. So we did design all of the silhouettes and everything. Like I said, they're not very complicated, but we wanted to give them a little twist. And I actually I don't know, it's always kind of been an interest of mine. I've always liked drawing and kind of sketching fashion designs. I've also done a course when I was younger and stuff like that, just because it was an interest of mine, like I said before. And so with this one, we just kind of spoke for a little bit and kind of came up with that concept, like I said, you know, easy, but with a twist. And then I kind of started drawing some things, and we kind of did have a lot of back and forth on this. I must say that in the beginning of the pandemic, I was actually in Germany for 2.5 months. I kind of flew home and got stuck when the lockdown was announced. Not that that was a bad thing, but that obviously helped with, you know, us kind of being able to work on this together. But we kind of, you know, like I said, we have the same type of style, so we kind of settled on the silhouettes and everything relatively quickly. We had been collecting questions in like a document for a while already, to just, you know, have them piled up and then see, you know, what can you actually put on clothing? Like, what would be fun? What would be interesting?
And trademarks as well, right? I mean, I'm guessing you can't put anything on the T-shirt like Alexa, ask me a question.
Absolutely, yeah. And we kind of wanted to do a mixture as well of questions that might be a little bit more, you know, deep, compared to some questions that seem a little bit more lighthearted, or a bit more of a, you know, like a jokey kind of thing. Like, I'm wearing a top that's saying, what are you overthinking right now? You know, because we all tend to overthink at times. And that is just kind of like a, you know, like a reminder, like, oh, I'm actually overthinking. Okay, wait. So, you know, to kind of tie in different sorts of questions.
And Jacqueline, now that these shirts and the hoodies, whatnot, they're all out there to buy, how has the brand been received?
I feel like it's been quite positive. You know, I think starting a brand is obviously never an easy feat, especially just, you know, getting people to actually know that you exist is like the main part. But everyone that's kind of responded to what we're doing has been positive. We've had, we work with a PR agency that obviously you got introduced to us to then. And they have done a virtual press day where we got some positive response. So that was all quite good. Like I said, we're obviously still quite small, but we're hoping to, you know, ramp up the marketing a little bit now so we can just gain a bit more awareness. But you know, in the end, I think one of the main aims of the brand is just to bring forward the fact that there is such a positive power in questions. So even if, you know, someone was not to be so interested in the clothing, we just kind of want to bring that message forward. Regarding the other part of the question, we do have something new planned. We are actually in the works right now. Like I said earlier, we've now switched our production to Portugal. So we'll see how that goes. But we've had some samples and everything. So that'll be interesting. I think it'll still be tops and, you know, a similar type of style, but obviously of different questions and maybe a little bit more color, because we stayed quite black and white in the beginning. It'll be interesting. Maybe some accessories as well. But like before, we're really trying to be as sustainable as we can as a small brand with what is available to us. So, yeah.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Wonderful story there. How often do you get to hear about the mother and daughter combo when it comes to starting a brand? Very inspiring. You can check the brand out again, areweoblivious.com, and make sure you give them a follow on the socials as well, areweoblivious. Make sure you're giving us a follow as well. Menswear Style is where you can find us. Menswearstyle.co.uk is a website where you can find all the show notes. And if you want to come on the show, maybe tell us about your brand and your journey, you can email us here at info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Thank you.